Well, welcome everyone. Great having you out Thanksgiving week. I am thankful that I don't live in the Buffalo area and have 4 to 7 feet of snow. It was cold this morning, but it was not 4 to 7 feet of snow, right? Okay, have my Bible app open here. So today I want to talk with you about faith. So remember the last time we talked about God is faithful and God can be trusted to do what he's promised to do and to be who he said he was. So today we're talking about faith, and what I wanted you to do at the beginning here is just stop and think, what is the definition of faith? Now I know many of you can quote the scripture, but that's not what I'm asking. So what I'm asking is, if you were asked to put the scripture into your own words, because it's one thing to be able to quote a scripture, another thing to know what it means and to be able to apply it. So I thought through the scriptural definition, which I'm going to read here in a minute, and I put it in my own words. So in my own words and my understanding and how I apply that scripture, faith is my confident belief without any physical or visible proof. It's my confident belief without any physical or visible proof. That's faith to me. Hebrews 11:1 is our scriptural definition, and I have it in two different translations. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So again, faith is the confident belief without any physical or visible proof. From the New Living Translation, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Come on! We can hope for something, but faith gives us the reality, the assurance. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So if it's visible and if we can see it, it's not faith. It takes faith to believe something you cannot yet see. There is no visible physical evidence. Yet you choose to believe what you are hoping for. Maybe it's something that God has promised, and you're believing it's going to come about, it's going to happen, and it's going to become visible. Not visible yet, but you're believing it's going to become visible. So let's go back to Hebrews 10. Now, many of you probably already know, when the scripture was written, it didn't have chapter and verse. They put chapter and verse in it so that we could try to understand it better. But this is all one letter written to the Hebrews, the Israelites that were scattered abroad. So there wasn't a division between chapter 10 and chapter 11. It was all just one continual letter. So we're going back just a little bit. We started with Hebrews 11:1, but now we're going back into chapter 10. Some very important things to encourage us this morning. Do you want to be encouraged?
Yes.
And my goal is that your faith will be increased. That your faith will be at a higher level when you leave here today than when you came in. Amen, Mike?
Amen.
I was expecting an amen from that brother. You can do one. For you have need of endurance, staying with God's plan, so that you may receive what was promised. See, faith is believing it's going to happen, but how many of you know you get the promise, you believe it's going to happen, here's when it becomes visible and real to you, and what's in between? Could be, yes, faith, but could be hours you have faith, could be days, could be months, could be years. Right, Jack and Nancy? Years. Okay? You are in need of endurance. So some of us can endure for 10 minutes. Some of us can endure for a day. You know, I've shared with you before that when I'm praying and believing for something, or even just hoping for something to happen that week, boy, I have trouble making it past a week. I don't know about you, but like if I'm hoping, like, I hope we don't get snow, or I'm hoping it gets warm enough that we can do this or do that. Tuesdays, I keep some of my grandchildren, and I'm always hoping it's not raining, because to be inside for 10 hours, or that it's so cold we can't go out, and here we are, 33 degrees. So there's things that I'm hoping for, and my endurance isn't all that great. I might endure for a week, but you know, if it's now the second week, and it's still cold and rainy, and we're still inside, this guy's probably moaning and groaning and complaining. But Scripture is saying we are in need of endurance, staying with God's plan, come on, so that you may receive what was promised. We aren't quitters, says the Message. We aren't quitters who lose out. No, we'll stay with it and be survivors, trusting all the way. We are those who have faith. See, when someone encounters one of us from Christian Life Community Church, I would hope they'd say, those folks at CLCC have faith. We are those who have faith. This trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see yet. That's from the Message. I want to read that one more time because I thought that was good. We aren't quitters who lose out. No, we'll stay with it and be survivors, trusting all the way, the whole journey, trusting all the way. We are those who have faith, this trust in God. This faith is a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't yet see. This is Hebrews 10. So we can't see the fulfillment yet. That's why it takes faith. We don't have what was promised yet. That's why it takes faith. Faith is believing in God and His promises despite what the situation currently looks like. Come on. Faith is believing in God despite what the situation currently looks like. So now we're going to go to verse 19. Hebrews 10:19. Those of you that like to follow along. And so, dear brothers and sisters, is that Ewens? Yes. Some of you aren't sure if that includes you. Do you want me to try the question again just to make sure? See, I caught you off guard. Dear brothers and sisters, now, is that you? Yes. That sounds better. We can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the veil into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest, who is that great high priest? Jesus, who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God. Come on, we shouldn't be standing back. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts. You listening? Fully trusting Him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So, here we go. Let us hold tightly without wavering. See, there we go, right? That's where we make the choice. Hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Hold tight without wavering to hope. That is the definition of faith. You're holding tight without wavering to your hope. And where is your hope? That God will keep His promises. Does God keep His promises? Okay. Verse 24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. See, that's what our communication should be. It shouldn't be things that we're complaining about or murmuring about or don't like. How about instead our conversation is about motivating one another to acts of love and good works? Come on, you motivate me, I motivate you. We motivate each other to acts of love and good works. Let's not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but instead encourage one another. Encourage means to give someone courage versus discourage. You're pulling courage away from them. So let's not discourage one another. Let's instead encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Come on, it's a lot closer now than it was when this was written 2,000 years ago. If they can say it was drawing near back then, how about us? We can say, yeah, it's drawing near. So only say things that build up one another. Encourage each other to keep believing, to remain faithful. Remind each other that God is faithful. How does that sound? Do you have days that you need someone just to remind you? I do. So I'm betting you do too. So a card, an email, a text, a phone call, Facebook message, you know, there's all kinds of things now that I don't even do. I tried some of them. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to do those. We'll let the younger ones do some of the other social media sites. It took me all these years just to understand Facebook and how it works. So we'll let them do all the other ones. But, you know, I do. This morning I just sent something out to someone and they sent something very encouraging back to me. And I can do that over a long distance. It was somebody up in northern New York State. And isn't that amazing? I can type something to Poland on my phone, Ukraine on my phone. I had better cell service when I was down in Paraguay than I do in Newville. I did. So you can talk to people all over the world. Encourage them. Them encourage you. Okay, verse 32. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Jesus Christ. Back when you first accepted Christ, when you first became a Christian. Remember how you remained faithful, even though for them it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten. I don't know that any of us have ever had that happen, correct? Around the world it does, though. Today, there's probably somebody who's going to be ridiculed and beaten, maybe killed. Sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown into jail. And when all you owned was taken from you, come on, you accepted it with joy. And then I think about the stuff that I murmur and complain about. You knew, this is how they could accept it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. Better things, better days coming. So, whenever there's a so, that means that's an instruction for us. So, I've given you a teaching, Paul is saying, or Luke is saying, or whoever has written Hebrews, we don't know for sure. They're saying, I just taught you these things, so this is how you apply it. This is how you make it real in your life. This is how you grow from my experience and what I've been through. So, you listening? Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings. patient endurance. I don't like those two words together. I'm not thrilled about patience, and I'm not thrilled about endurance. You put them together, I like them even less. Patient endurance is what you need right now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Now listen, then, not now, then, after you've patiently endured, you will receive all that he has promised. Not some, all that he has promised, after you patiently endure. So the scripture talks about not throwing away or giving up your confidence. That means that we have a choice. We've been given faith. We've been given confidence. So we can either carry that through the situation and out the other side, or somewhere, I can't damage this too much, or somewhere along the way, we throw out our confidence. It says, do not throw away your confidence, the confident trust in God and his promises, but cling to it tightly. Hold on to it. Patient endurance is what you need now, because right now you can't see the result. The situation might not look so great. The situation might have even gotten a little worse. But that's when you need patient endurance, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. That was verse 36. Does that sound like a good one to maybe carry in your pocket? Put on your bathroom mirror, have in the car with you. You're driving along and things just aren't moving the way you want them to move. And, you know, maybe you're not healing up as fast as you think you should. You were believing for money and it hasn't come in yet and the bill's due. Patient endurance is what I need right now, so that I don't throw away my confident trust in the Lord. Then I will receive all that he has promised. Great verse. So are we all there? Well, no, that's why the Lord gave us this message this morning, because we're not all there yet. We're growing and we're developing, but we're not all there yet. Okay? And I stopped long ago praying for patience, because I know what will happen. 10 times that week, I'll be behind the slowest vehicle. I'll be behind the poop spreader. I'll be behind the tractor going 10 miles an hour. And I'm going to show up 5 minutes late for my doctor's appointment, or whatever it is that I don't want to show up late for. Okay? And there I am. I'm like, patience, patience, patience. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just sorry. This guy is still working on it at 65. Maybe by the time I'm 75, I'll be a little, I think I'm a little more patient than I was at 35 or 40, but you would have to ask my wife, because she may shake her head no. So in Mark 9, the father of a demon-possessed boy, do you remember that story? Jesus came up and the disciples weren't able to do anything, and Jesus set the boy free, but he had said to the father, but you have to believe. And the father said, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So he had a little bit of belief, and he wanted Jesus to forgive him for his larger amount of unbelief. And then in Luke 17, the disciples said to Jesus, show us how to increase our faith. So see, we can be honest today. Hey, he knows anyway, right? So we can be honest and say, you know, I have a little bit of faith this morning. Forgive my unbelief and increase my faith. Come on, aren't those two good prayers? Forgive my unbelief and increase my faith. So sometimes we're in situations that life puts us in that we feel like we're in a boat in the Chesapeake Bay, or maybe the Atlantic Ocean. And a storm comes and knocks us out of the boat. And the little bit of faith we have is the life jacket or the cushion that somebody throws to us. And so we're out in the middle of the ocean hanging on to that cushion, and that's all the faith that we have right then and there. Well, that's okay, because remember what Jesus did and what happened with Peter in the midst of the storm? Peter said, well, Jesus, if that's you there in the midst of my storm, and how many of you know Jesus is always there in the midst of your storm? Sometimes we can't feel him. Sometimes we can't see him. But if we're believing the word is true, he says he never leaves us or forsakes us. So there we are in the midst of the storm. Jesus is there. And he said to Peter, yeah, it's me. Step out of the boat. Well, actually, he invited them all. But just Peter stepped out of the boat. So remember, you're giving him and you're being realistic with the amount of faith that you have. So Peter had enough faith to step out of the boat. I hope I have enough faith to step out of the boat. I don't know. It depends, right? He steps out of the boat, and his eyes are on Jesus. I heard that, Pam. His eyes are on Jesus, and he's walking. Come on. Walking on water in the midst of the storm. And sometimes we do that. We're like, yeah, I'm above this. I'm okay. I'm doing well. And then we start looking around, don't we? We get our eyes off of Jesus, and we start looking around. Ooh, that wave coming toward me is pretty big. Whoa, look at that wind over there. It's bending that tree in half. Yeah, this situation is pretty big. And what happens? He sinks down. And he's the whole way down in the water, and the wind and the storm, and he's sinking. It doesn't say if he could swim or not. He's a fisherman, so I would hope he could swim. But, you know, you're out in the middle of the ocean. Have anybody ever been out in the middle of the ocean? Wave, storm, wind. Okay. And what does he do? He yells, help! See, sometimes that's all we can do. We think we have to pray this big, long, complicated prayer. O thou, Lord, most highest up in the heavenest. Okay? No. Sometimes all we have to do, and all the energy we have, and all the faith we have, is to yell, help! Save me, Lord! And you think Jesus is just going to stand there and go, yeah, if you sink. No, it says immediately, Jesus reached down, grabbed his hand, and lifted him up. Come on. So it's okay to just yell help. It's okay to say that's all I can really pray right now. Jesus and Peter step back into the boat. And he says, you have so little faith. See, he had enough faith to step out on the water, but not enough faith to stay above the storm. And then Jesus said, why did you doubt me? So I wonder how many times he's asked that of me. Steve, come on. I gave you these promises. Why did you doubt me? But we go back to, he knows it's okay to say, forgive my unbelief and increase my faith. When Peter and Jesus stepped back into the boat, what happened? The wind and waves immediately stopped, and they said to one another, he really is who he says he is. He really is the Son of God. So I'm here to announce today, he really is who he says he is. He really is the Son of God. Come on. He really is the Son of God. So we can say to Jesus, increase my faith to believe that you are who you say you are, and you will do what you've promised to do. Romans 12:3 says that we each have been given some faith. Some. Doesn't say how much, but it says we've each been given some. And in Luke 17, Jesus is teaching about forgiving. And I think this is an interesting place where they make this statement. And he said, you need to forgive others. And they were like, oh, how many times? One time? No, more than that. Two times? Three. Jesus, do you really expect me to forgive somebody three times? And Jesus says, even if they do something against you seven times in one day. Come on. Seven times in one day. You still need to forgive them. Each and every time. And that's when the apostles said, Jesus, increase my faith. Because that would take a struggle. If somebody called me on the phone or texted me seven times and cursed me out in one day, I would have a hard time forgiving them by the seventh time. Probably by the third time they'd be blocked. But still, okay, forgive them seven times. Oh Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. And right there, Jesus said, but if you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed. So I remember Mother used to have a necklace. It was a round one, and there was a little mustard seed inside it. Considering that she's kept everything her entire life, it's probably buried somewhere in the house. See, I figured. And that's a teeny little seed. And Jesus said, even if your faith is only as big as a mustard seed, you can say to that tree, hey, maple tree, throw yourself in the ocean, and it would obey you. What? Come on. I haven't commanded any trees lately. I don't know about you. So what size is our faith today? See, that's what I thought we were supposed to be real with God about today. Okay, well, God, I think my faith is this big. And he goes, yeah, maybe that big. Or maybe we say, I think my faith is only that big. And he says, no, your faith has grown over the years. It's that big. Okay, so let's try to be honest with him today. Where is my faith? And let's remember what we said faith was. Our confident belief in someone or something without the physical or visible evidence yet. The confident belief without the physical or visible proof yet. And yet such an important word to remember. Jesus' followers, his disciples, were with him how long? About 3 years, we think. Some of them maybe only a year or two. And their faith had been stirred up. How? Well, what'd they see? They saw Jesus walking on the water. They saw him feeding a multitude twice with just a couple pieces of bread and a couple fish. They saw him heal the blind, the lame, leprosy, raising people from the dead. They saw all of that. So they had a pretty high expectation. And they knew Jesus was something special. They didn't quite understand who he was. Here they said, yeah, he is the Son of God. But later on, they act like they didn't know he was the Son of God. So they were trying to figure out who Jesus was. And they're in the garden. And what happens? They're in the garden praying with Jesus, which they did on regular occasions. And now Jesus is arrested. So I'm wondering if they're thinking, well, you know, he's the Son of God. He's just going to walk through the walls. He's just going to command the doors to open. He's just going to be set free. Then he has the mock trial. Peter denies him 3 times. He was whipped and beaten, had the crown of thorns put on his head. Now I'm wondering what they're thinking, where their level of faith was. I'm thinking, where would my level of faith be about now? So then you see him going through town carrying his cross. Wow, what happened to your faith? Where would it be? I thought he was going to take over and be the next king. I thought he was going to throw the Romans out. I thought. And then you look up on the hill outside of town, and there he is, hanging on the cross. What happens to your faith? See, sometimes our faith is tested, isn't it? Mine's been tested. There's some situations now I'm believing for. So when they took Jesus down and put him in the tomb, sealed it with a rock, did they throw away their confident trust, their faith? They say, okay, well, I guess Jesus wasn't who he said he was. I guess Jesus isn't going to do what he said he was going to do. So Friday night, Saturday, bunch of them went out fishing. They're like, yeah, we don't know if this is ever going to happen, if anything good is going to come. Yet what happened on Sunday morning? Jesus had told them prior to this in John 16, in a little while you're not going to see me, and then in a little while you're going to see me again. They had no idea what he meant. He said, at first you're going to cry and mourn. Hey, some of us are there. We're in situations that we're crying, and there's grief, and we're mourning, and things didn't go the way we expected them to. They didn't go how we expected them to. They didn't move as fast as we expected them to, and maybe they even got worse. He says, you will cry and mourn, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. Your sorrow will be turned to joy. I'm not playing on Facebook, I promise you. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved, which happens to be writing the book of John. She said, they've taken away the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb, and they were both running. But the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. He stooped, and he looked in, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived, and he went in. Of course he did. He also noticed the linen wrappings laying there. And the cloth that had covered Jesus' head, it was folded and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw, come on, and believed. For until that time, they still didn't understand the scripture that said that Jesus must rise from the dead. Jesus even told them what was going to happen. Then they went home. Mary was still standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. And she saw 2 white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the feet of the place where the body of Jesus had been laying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. She didn't quite get it yet, did she? And she turned to leave and saw somebody standing there. And he said, "Dear woman, why are you crying?" And Jesus asked her, "Who are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener. "Sir, if you've taken him away, tell me where you put him and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. And she turned and cried out, "Precious Rabbi." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father." Now listen. "But go and find my brothers." What? Go and find my brothers. Go and find those whose faith have been crushed. Go and find those who are struggling to believe that I am who I said I was and that I will do what I said I would do. And tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I've seen the Lord." And then she gave them his message. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They had just crucified their rabbi, their teacher, their leader, and they thought they were going to come after them next. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there in the midst. So I want to encourage you today, look for Jesus to show up suddenly in your midst. Whether it's in the midst of a storm, or it's the midst of the place where you've almost given up hope, where you've almost lost your confident belief in him and his promises. As he spoke, he showed them his wounds and his hand and his side, and they were filled with joy. See, they had been crying. Now, just like he promised, they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." See, I believe that Jesus is saying to us what he says to Thomas. Do you remember? Thomas wasn't there. And so, unfortunately, the poor guy got the nickname Thomas the Doubter. Because Thomas came in a little later and they said, "Guess what? We saw Jesus." He's like, "Yeah, sure you did. I won't believe it unless I see his hands and his side and stick my fingers in there. I'm not going to believe you saw Jesus." So they were together again, and who showed up? Jesus. He said, "It's me. You can see the holes in my side and in my hands." And he said, "Be not unbelieving, but believing." So I feel like Jesus is speaking over us today. Those that are here this morning, those that couldn't be here today. So if you talk to someone who couldn't be here today, let them know that Jesus is asking us, are we unbelieving or believing? And then let them know that it's okay to pray, "Lord, forgive my unbelief and increase my faith." So I feel like we just need to close today being honest with ourselves and being honest with God. Yeah, maybe I am disbelieving in some of your promises because they just haven't come about as fast as I thought or in the way that I thought. And we're going to ask him to forgive our unbelief and to increase our faith. How's that sound? So let's stand. If you can stand, let's stand. Just in response. Jesus, we want to be known as people of faith. We want to be known as those who are believing. We say that you are who you said you were, and we say that we believe you and your promises. But there's, if we're honest, our faith could be bigger. Our faith could be increased. If we're honest, there's some disbelief in there. So Jesus, we're going to come today and stand before the Father with you there with us, and we're going to say, Father God, forgive my unbelief. So folks, just take a minute. Just between you and the Lord, you can say it out loud or quietly. Father God, forgive my unbelief. Forgive my unbelief. And then, Jesus, we're asking you, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Whatever level I presently have, increase my faith so that I will have a confident belief that you are who you said you are and that you will do what you've promised and said you will do, even though I don't yet see it. Even though I don't yet see it. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. So Jesus, I just want to close by telling you I appreciate the fact that you wanted us to be real and honest with you today, and that you knew that some of us, maybe all of us, maybe most of us, needed to get rid of our disbelief today, needed to give it to you, needed to ask you to forgive us of our disbelief, and to ask you, increase my faith. So Jesus, as we leave here today, we're believing that you are going to stir up faith within us, that you're going to increase our faith. You're going to give us a gift of faith, even as it says that that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we will leave here believing you in a greater measure to do all that you've promised to do for us as individuals, for us as families, for us as a church, than we did when we came in here today. We are believing you, Jesus, to do what only you can do, to do what is impossible with any other person, any medication, any report, but it's not impossible with you. Because we are believing your word that says, with God, all things are possible. And Jesus said to that father, if you would only believe. So we're choosing today to place our hope and our faith in you. You've been faithful to save us, to keep us. And now we're leaving here today believing you to make a way where there seems to be no way, to do the miraculous, increase our faith. And we all said, amen, amen, amen. You're dismissed. Have a great Thanksgiving. Don't forget to actually give thanks.